I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Montana's pretty special place. I know we know that. As a place for doing business, it has an awful lot to offer, right? But lately, the state is facing new challenges, I think, when it comes to economic development, labor shortages, high interest rates. You've got high inflation. How does Montana answer those challenges? Or better yet, there's probably some opportunities out there as well. Or maybe they lie ahead. How does Montana take advantage of that? You know, we are right here today in the spot. We're broadcasting live from the place where those things are up front and on the table. Today, Voices of Montana live from the annual Montana Economic Developers Conference here, Association Conference in Billings, Montana, to answer some of those challenges and opportunities that lie ahead for Big Sky Country on Voices of Montana. You know, Montana doesn't have a ton of voices, right? They're proud and they're very talented and they're very dedicated, but there's a million of us, right? So who's out there leading in economic development? And where are they leading the state? And how important is that to our communities? I think we've learned over the past several years that economic development does pay for itself in a lot of ways. We're going to explore that today as we're here at MEDA. It's the Montana Economic Developers Association. They call it Spring Conference. We're getting on to summer here at the Northern Hotel in Billings. Steve Arbuskow is with us as our first guest. We'll be speaking, a bit later on. Paul Tuss, Representative Paul Tuss, will be here. He's been Bear Paw Development for a lot of years and had his first session in the state legislature. Julie Emmons Stoddard will be with us from Southeastern Montana Development Corporation. Brian Obert, the president of the Montana Economic Developers Association. But good to chat with Steve. How are you doing, sir?
Tom, it's great to see you, and thank you for coming to the MEDA conference. I really appreciate it, and I think for your audience, you do a really good job of just pulling your audience into these big statewide conversations, right?
Right.
And that's what's going on today. We have a very large statewide conversation around our economy and where we're going and workforce and talent and housing and all those dynamics of what drives or in some cases stalls our economic health and growth and well-being across Montana.
It's a very positive room in there. I mean, you can just feel the vibe. Is that what economic developers kind of bring? They've got to have that positive attitude, that whole, let's make something happen and let's make it happen right now.
You would do well. You have it right. You come with a passion about your community. And in this room today, our economic developers, my colleagues around the state who get up every morning, as I do, they care about their community, they care about the individual people in their community, they care about those small, medium-sized businesses in their community and what drives that community forward. They care about the pressure points that businesses are facing, that families are facing in Montana. And then they are optimistic people.
Yeah.
We see an opportunity. We see hope for the future economically. We know it takes work. You had mentioned earlier about Montana just being a million people, not a lot of voices. One thing about our voices, we're loud and proud. We care very deeply about the health and well-being and the economy of our state. And that room is filled with people that are wired that way to care for their communities.
Well, and that's why I think economic development works in Montana, is because you come from that foundation. But what are all those elements that make economic development? I mean, we'll talk about it. We look at some of the challenges here, labor shortages, housing plays into that, tax, infrastructure, all those things. But what is economic development for us?
Well, it's an effort to help facilitate the economic growth of your community in a way that adds value to your community. So you could just say, hey, let's go create 100 jobs, and we would all love to do that tomorrow, but it's really reflecting back on where's our economy today? What's our best strengths and opportunities for economic growth? And then what are the drivers? What are the key ingredients to help support that economic growth? And when you talk about economic development, it's about us identifying the tools and resources that are necessary to come alongside business. Economic developers in this effort, we don't create those jobs. Private sector creates mm-hmm. those jobs. So how can we come alongside them and help eliminate the barriers, help provide the tools and resources, assure that infrastructure is in place so that it's easy for business to do business in your community and in your state? That's what we're all about. We're help facilitate problem solving, filling gaps, so that the private sector can be confident in making an investment in our community.
Big businesses, small businesses. Where do you put your focus? Is it sort of that where you can get the most bang for your buck, spread it out as far as you can, and so that everything can rise off of that sort of foundation? The question is, where do you start? Do you start with capital? Do you start with if you're a business and you're looking to develop something in Montana? Where would they start, and then where specifically would you come in?
Well, I want to make sure I'm in a community that has the infrastructure in place to support my business interests, okay. Whether I'm a Main Street small business or whether I'm a mid-sized manufacturer. Does that community have the infrastructure I need? Basic infrastructure, water, sewer system, roads, et cetera, those basic things. Then once the infrastructure is in place, is it an affordable place for me to be? Can I afford to do business there? Is the tax structure healthy for me? Is it a pro-business climate? Thirdly, I would say, can I find the talent that drives my business? And that one resonates at the top of everybody's list right mm-hmm. now is, can I find the talent to help grow and drive my business? I would tell you, and this has been the case for more than a half a dozen years, our economy in Montana has been stalled because of a lack of available workforce and talent. We're leaving money on the table, as it were, in our economy because we can't fill all the jobs we need to. And that's across the state. That's in it to a certain level. That's everywhere in Montana is struggling for talent. And then there are factors that relate to that. So one of our priorities as a state needs to be, let's make sure that we're building a quality state and that we're building a quality community so that we can be impactful in retaining and attracting talent, because we know talent drives economic growth, helps businesses become successful. They can't do it, notwithstanding the artificial intelligence and the modernization of a lot of different things. You need intellect. You need bright, smart people. You need hardworking people to drive your business forward, and that's what drives Montana's economy.
And that answers the question that I was getting to about big business versus small business. I think if we think in terms of economic development, we try to think of the big partner out there, so to speak, that is going to filter in, and their economic impact is going to filter into the economy in a lot of ways. But from an economic developer standpoint, I don't think you want to overlook those small entrepreneurs as well. So how does an economic development corporation at the same time attract big business as well as encourage small business in Montana?
So I can't speak for everyone in the room today, but I know for our organization at Big Sky Economic Development here in Billings, we commit about 70% of our resources, which means our program money, our staffing, is all focused on helping our existing business community and entrepreneurs grow and prosper in our community. We do recruitment, and we try and attract large companies, larger manufacturers, that sort of thing. That's a small piece of what okay. we do. Most of our commitment, because it's foundational to our economic growth, is helping foster homegrown, local business growth and supporting those businesses that are here in our community already. They're going to add jobs if we can be helpful and supportive of them. That's the best first place to start. And then I think Montana does have opportunity to attract new innovative companies, but they're not all going to show up with 500 new jobs. Sometimes they're going to show up with 20 jobs, and then they're going to use Montana as a platform for growth. So yeah. It's not a let's go chase the big 1,000 job thing. Is helping support our local businesses to be successful, and then attracting those innovative companies that want to grow in Montana.
I think that's an important point to make and keep making, because and Steve Arbuckle with this, executive director of the Big Sky Economic Development, that's been around. Pretty big footprint there too. I think there's in Montana those small businesses. You know, they think that I just have to slog it along. I just, you know, I don't necessarily need that kind of help, or I don't know where to go. I mean, we've got that independent spirit, and I'm surprised at how economic developers are really, they're at the macro level and they're at the micro level too.
Yeah, we really have to come alongside that business. I was just making notes earlier as I was listening to the speaker. It's about, in Montana especially, it's about relationship. And so us as economic developers, the one most important thing we can do is spending time face-to-face with our local businesses, understanding what's going on, understanding what their aspirations are, not only helping them solve problems, but what are their aspirations for growth and how we can come alongside and encourage that as an economic developer and as a community. And part of our job then is, once we understand that about our businesses in our community, then it's our job as economic developers to help lead the voice of our community, our policymakers, our decision makers, to say, here's the state of our local businesses. Here's what they need to help prosper. Here's the aspirations they have. Now, community, let's come alongside that. Let's build a quality community that retains and attracts talents. Let's make sure we're investing in our infrastructure. Let's do those things to help support that business growth.
I've got two things for you. One would be this developing leadership. I mean, that's a big focus of yours as well, isn't it? What goes into that? What are some of those quick keys?
Well, it's like any other organization. So if you're running an economic development organization, if you're running a business, whatever it is driven by people. It's that equation it's part of the equation that has to be there. And so part of what we need to do, what we do internal to our organization, is we try and build leaders internal to the organization. We want to give them a place where their work is meaningful. We want them to help thrive and grow professionally in their role. We're constantly asking our team members to take on new challenges, take on things maybe they haven't tried before.
You guys are.
Stand up in front of groups and present ideas, do the research and homework so that they can start to become that subject matter expert and that professional in their field. We want to make sure we're cultivating real, strong, knowledgeable experts in the field of economic development. And then we're going to push them out the door and put them in front of communities and in front of businesses to take that leadership role on. You know how it goes. It's like, I'm going to push you in the swimming pool and you're going to start to swim. It's not the best way to learn to swim. I think I learned to swim that way. But we really want our team members to know that when they're part of our work, A, they need to be passionate about the work they're doing. It's a sense of calling. Mm-hmm. But they're going to be pushed to grow and thrive in their professional development. And especially our young talent, they want to, when they come on board in an organization, they want to know that you're going to come alongside them and help them grow personally and professionally. And that's what we try and do. And successful businesses do the exact same thing. Maybe doing a product or a service, whatever you're delivering, but you're also investing time in helping your team members grow and thrive and be successful.
Well, I will say, everybody, every time I've talked to somebody from your organization, they're better swimmers every time I talk to them down the road, too.
As I've pushed them in the pool a few too many times.
Pay it up. Steve Arbuckle again, Big Sky Economic Development. I got to ask the one question about what's different nowadays. I mean, you've got the pandemic, you've got high interest rates, capital's hard, you've got inflation, and then you still have a social kind of structure that pulls in politics. As much as you try to, as a business, maybe separate yourself from that, you still have that kind of underlying. So how do you operate nowadays? Is it different?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say it was different necessarily. There are certain fundamental things that you need to have in place. You know, we talked about infrastructure and talent, that sort of thing. I think there's a level of uncertainty around all of the things playing out, you know, socially, economically, politically. And I don't know if that's necessarily different. It just feels more acute. And it's more in our face on a daily basis. It's on our phone. It's in front of us all the time. So it really means you have to be, you have to have a strong back. You have to feel confident in the work. You have to do your homework. You have to feel confident in the work that you're doing. You have to not be bashful about standing up and talking about what's important for your community and where it's headed. And then be a leader, and leaders are the first one shot. I mean, leaders, you right. just have to be yeah. willing to say, you know, this is what makes sense.
Get some armor on.
This is what makes yeah. sense for our community, what makes sense yeah. for our state. It's an important investment. It's important policy, whatever it might be, to help drive things economically. We've always, this whole world throughout eternity has been wrought with uncertainties.
Yeah.
We have uncertainties today. They feel more acute. They're in our presence every single day. You have to rise above that. Be so laser focused yeah. on what you can accomplish well, where you can make the best income or the best impacts, and show the outcomes that you need to show to your community.
Nice. I appreciate the work you do, Steve. And always chatting with you is always good, too.
It's a pleasure. I want yeah. your audience to understand, Tom gets wound up. He was over here, like, punching the air, like, getting passionate. That's why I say you could be a great economic developer. At our heart, we're passionate, caring people. And you bring the same thing to the work that you do. And
I like to push people in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
I do the same thing.
I hope my team doesn't hear me say that, but that is how I learned to swim.
Yeah.
I'd say, hey, here we go.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just have to dive in.
Your team appreciates
that,
though. I know. Yeah. They've all been like that. So good work. Yeah, keep it up.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Steve. We'll take a break and come on back with more. We are live from MEDA. That's the Montana Economic Developers Association Conference here at the Great Northern Hotel in Billings, Montana. Back with more after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Welcome back, live from the MEDA Conference, the Montana Economic Developers Association. Let's see what they are developing here. We're live from the Northern Hotel in Billings, Montana this morning. Representative Paul Tuss will join us a bit later on. He's, for the longest time, been with Bear Paw Development. We'll also have Brian Obert alongside, president of this MEDA organization. Now a pleasure to welcome and doing her work in southeastern Montana with the Southeastern Montana Development Corporation. It's Julie Stoddard. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Always a lot of energy, I think, when these developers get together. And what do you hope to take away from this? I mean, it's a spring conference. You guys do it on a regular basis. What does Julie want to leave and take away from this?
I think, Tom, a new enthusiasm for what we do, you know, coming through the winter in Montana. We always have a little bit of a dark side to us when we come out. It's great to come to Billings, have some refresher on what's going on, but also learn a little bit about some of the new programs that are coming out because of the legislature just ending,
yeah.
and excited to learn.
And we'll talk, I think, more legislatively with Paul here. Big, you know, he was right in the middle of it there, so why not? What did you see coming out of there? Because your focus is on rural Montana in a
yep.
lot of ways. What did you see coming out of there that might help rural Montana with economic development?
You know, interestingly, we don't think of housing as being a huge rural Montana issue.
Right.
But I think just like some of the bigger towns in Montana, housing is probably one of our biggest issues. Powder River County, Colstrip especially, all the communities that we work in
really?
Are really struggling with housing. It's tough to recruit workforce, and that is probably those two go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get workforce if you don't have housing.
Yep, they can't afford to live in Bozeman
yeah.
nowadays, a lot of them. So, yeah, there's complications in that process. But I am interested in why is it happening in rural Montana?
You know, it's really interesting that you asked that, and I'm kind of excited about some of the things that are happening in our rural communities, and I'm going to use Broadus as an example. We've had people from other areas in Montana and other areas in the nation moving to our community. Does that create some challenges for us? Absolutely. It's increased our housing prices, so it's very much unaffordable for the people who live there who have service-type jobs and those types of employment. On that same note, we've had a new company move to our community that's brought manufacturing, built a brand new building. They came from Bozeman. They couldn't afford land in Bozeman. They could afford land in Powder River County. And it's precision machining. They ship component parts out to Canada and all over different areas.
What's the name of the company again?
North Fork Precision.
North Fork Precision, yeah.
Yeah, Kyle Copeland is the owner. We're so excited. He had ties to Powder River County, married a girl from Powder River County, came back, bought an apartment complex. They manage the complex and live in one of the units because there was no housing.
Right, right.
But the younger generation is very creative about what they do, and they're very passionate to come home.
Wow. So a great success story in rural Montana. Those things sort of maybe, are they starting to peak above the cloud, so to speak? I mean, are we seeing more and more of those?
I think so. I think the theme a little bit that we heard yesterday about just generational differences, the generation that is coming along right now values a balance between work and home life,
right?
Very much.
Yeah.
And being back in a community where you grew up or where you had ties to, Powder River County has tons of opportunities for outdoors. That's what people enjoy who come there.
Yeah, yeah. And so Eastern Montana kind of experiencing what Western Montana has experienced for a number of years, actually.
Yep.
What lessons do you learn from that half of the state then?
I think one of our biggest challenges has been making sure that we have the infrastructure and the services there to accommodate those types of things. At SCMDC, we're constantly facing having to help communities come up with what we call creative financing, funding packages to be able to afford different types of things. We're working in Hysham right now. You've probably seen some of the challenges on TV with that. They have only 135 water users in their community to be able to afford some very difficult and costly improvements.
Mm. I live there, as a matter of fact.
Crazy.
Yeah. Again, we're with Julie Stoddard. She's with Southeastern Montana Development Corporation. Since that's been around since 1997. SEMC.org for more information, community service director, and then grant manager. More focus on the rural then. I asked Steve this question. Steve Arbuckle was on earlier. You know, we look at high inflation and we look at high interest rates, so capital's hard to come by. The pandemic in the last few years have changed the dynamic a little bit. Does economic development then, how do they change because these conditions have changed?
You know, I think a lot of what we're doing right now is working on more into the workforce types of things. Some of our lending activity has slowed down.
Okay.
The interest rate has put a damper on that somewhat. There are a tremendous number of programs out there to help businesses be able to afford expansions and that type of thing. So we're shifting gears to help make financing more affordable. And looking at things that we haven't worked in before. Mentioned earlier the housing. Traditionally, as economic developers, we didn't work in housing.
Right.
So we're being forced out of our comfort zone to be able to look at some issues such as that.
What kind of help is out there? What kind of grants are out there? I mean, I talk to people an awful lot, and I say, you'd be surprised at what the government can actually fund. Surprising for some?
Yep. Traditionally, when people call and they want a grant and they're a private business, the traditional answer is if you are a private individual, you're probably not going to qualify for many grants.
Mm-hmm.
However, the state grants are very different. We have been able to work with businesses, private businesses. I have two great examples. We had a grocery store in Broadus that was getting ready to go through a need for an ownership change. I'll just phrase it that way. To make that affordable for them, we were able to save 19 jobs in that business by applying for a CDBG grant. The county made a loan to the business owner to help offset some of the costs, and that interest rate on the money was very low, 2% interest. And so that, combined with a loan from the bank, assisted him to lower the overall cost of the interest rate so he could afford it and get into that business. It's been a great success story. We also did a REAP grant through USDA that is available to you, all different private producers who are doing energy efficiency improvements. He did LED lighting. He replaced all the freezers in his business. And right now, I believe they can get up to 60% grant of their project in that. So that's a great example.
Yeah, things have changed then.
Yep.
I only have like 30 seconds left. You got anything to leave us with, or just contact you?
Yep. Any type of information, whether you're in our area or not, I'm glad to give information to people. Yeah. All of our contact information is at www.semdc.org.
S-E-M-D-C. Oh, okay.
Yep. Stands for Southeast Montana Development Corporation.
Julie Stoddard, how long have you been there?
I have been there for 14 years.
Oh, congratulations on that. Yeah, that's got to be kind of rewarding too, right?
It is, yeah. Yep.
You can look around the community and families that are still there because of the things that you guys have done to organize to make your community more
absolutely
healthy. Yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yep. We're back with more. We'll take a break, and I think it's Representative Paul Tuss, perhaps. It might be Brian Olbert. We are live from the Montana Economic Developers Association Conference in Billings, Montana, today on Voices.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Welcome back. I hope you guys are doing well. Appreciate you being here. We are live, taking it on the road today. Not too far down the road. I'm not going to call it 406 in because we just, but we want to go where people have got this on their agenda, front and center, and that's economic development in Montana from the Montana Economic Developers Association. Our next guest is Representative Paul Tuss. I had to, this year, congratulations, by the way,
Thank you, Tom.
On that. We had to add the title representative.
That's right.
Went through your first session. Oh, my gosh. What a session, too. To be your first session.
You know, I really enjoyed it. And and Tom, I think I told you before we got started here, when people asked me if I liked it, and I did. It's definitely, though, in the like category. I wouldn't say that it's in the love category. And, you know, as a freshman, I've been around politics for many, many years. In fact, a couple of decades, as I think you know. And it's different when you're the person, actually, you're the elected official, and you're pushing the green or the red button. And my hat's off to anybody who wants to be in that arena, because having been there in the House of Representatives representing the good folks up in Havre and the High Line for 87 days, it's a grueling process.
Yeah.
It really is. And we had our ups and downs in this particular session. You know, as a Democrat, I happened to be in what was known as the super minority, and that had its own challenges.
You guys called it the super minority. The press didn't, but you guys did, because it probably felt like that. Didn't
it? You know, yeah. But even with that, there were some really good days down there.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, the bottom line is you have public servants, regardless of whether or not you're from a big city, an Indian reservation, or rural Montana. That really are looking out for the betterment of Montana. And that's what we have to remember, is that I may have even philosophical differences with somebody that's across the aisle from me, but the truth is, at the end of the day, we represent Montanans, and we have respect for one another, and I loved working with my legislative colleagues across the aisle.
That is evident for anybody who actually does take in, as Paul had noted, there's going to be some times, but you take in those hearings, you take in the floor debates, you just know automatically there's respect. It's just... a genuine and equal respect across the aisles there. I can appreciate that. Not everybody has that. You know, and that breaks down at times. But Executive Director of Bear Paw Development, it's been a while since we've had a chance to chat. Why don't you tell me, I want to get into all the legislative stuff too, but give us an update on economic development from the Bear Paw.
You know, we're doing well. Bear Paw Development is Montana's oldest economic development district. We go back to the late 60s, I think, as you know, Tom. You last time you and I talked, you may have been in Havre at MSU Northern.
I think that was last time, yeah.
Yeah.
Might have done a phone call, but...
A few phone calls as well. And the truth is that we're doing well. Yeah. And it takes organizations like Bear Paw Development and our sister organizations spread throughout Montana to make sure that rural Montana is not forgotten, and to make sure that from an economic and community development perspective, that rural Montana has the capacity to be able to make our communities great places to live and work and raise a family. So our goal is to really make sure that not just Havre, but our entire 5-county, 2-reservation region has some vitality to it, has a little bit of spring in its step. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a staff of about 10 people out there, and we're writing grants for the communities that we serve for infrastructure. We have one of Montana's largest revolving loan funds to help small businesses start up or expand.
Oh, nice. Is that through Bear Paw Development?
It is absolutely through Bear Paw Development. We get funds from the state and federal government, and we are known as an intermediary.
Okay.
And so we get the funds from those agencies, and then we lend those monies to entrepreneurs and small businesses who want to expand or have an idea and they want to start up. So it's really critical to have organizations like Bear Paw Development spread throughout Montana that can really assist those entrepreneurs and those communities that sometimes struggle, you know, particularly in rural Montana. I like to say, and this isn't entirely true, but I like to say that places like Missoula and Bozeman and Billings, they kind of have some momentum. They always are going to be doing okay. You know, they just have some capacity that's built into how large they are.
Right.
But you go to a Big Sandy or a Chester or a Chinook or a Malta, and sometimes they just need that additional help. And that's what we're there to do. And we've been doing it for 53 years now.
Well, and you could probably point to this project here, which you had used this, and then that project over there, which taught you how to do this project over here. You've probably got a lot of those.
Tom, it's all about leveraging resources. Yeah. You know, and resources, regardless of where you live, regardless of where you work, are pretty scarce these days. Yeah. And so you take a little bit of money from an entrepreneur and you put that together with some revolving loan fund monies that we have, and there might be a bank loan in there too. And then when it comes to the public side, you know, the ratepayers are going to be paying a certain amount to improve their water system. Mm-hmm. And then we're able to write a grant to the state government, and we leverage those dollars with federal money, maybe from the Department of Agriculture. But together, that's how we, and that's the importance of organizations like ours, is to look at the big picture, know where the money is, and to leverage those dollars to make projects happen.
Paul Tuss is with us, Representative Paul Tuss, House District 28, just served his first session there, and a longtime executive director of Bear Paw Development. So deep into finance then, and going back to the legislature, they looked at some mechanisms for economic development through financing or at least, TIF structures. Was it a good argument? Did you come out of the 68th with an idea of a better idea of how we help economic development, especially at that rural level?
Let me focus on a little bit of what my work in the legislature did. I was on the Appropriations Committee, and when
say no more. That just sucked up all your time, I bet.
Well, literally, when you're a member of the House and you're on Appropriations, that's the only committee you serve on because it's that demanding. And I happen to be the only freshman member from my caucus that was appointed to the Appropriations Committee, and I was incredibly honored by that. But we started this session with, as we all know, a couple of $1 billion in the bank. We had a very nice surplus, if you will. And I think that in a very bipartisan way, we may have some differences here and there about how we spent all of those dollars. But we really did invest in the core infrastructure to Montana. And I happen to be on the long-range planning subcommittee for appropriations, which is known as Section F. And that's where all of the irrigation systems come to get funded. And that's where water systems come to get funded. And that's where sewer systems come to get funded. And that's where historic preservation efforts happen. And state government buildings and, you know, a new campus for the Montana Highway Patrol. And
big
and
projects, too.
The Department of Military Affairs. Okay. And so, you know, the truth is that we can talk about business development all day long. And by the way, I like to do that. But the truth is that the foundation of economic development rests on having a solid infrastructure. And I have to say kudos to my colleagues on both sides of the aisle in the Montana legislature for truly understanding the importance of investing in our infrastructure. And I'm so proud that I was part of that.
Yeah, congratulations on that, too. I mean, I followed that process, and there was probably, you know, House Bill 2 had like 160, 70 different actions on it. You know, it's huge. Did you get St. Mary's money? I mean, I know it was in a couple of different, there was a grant program and a loan program. Did it from 50 to 25, but that went through, didn't it?
You bet. In fact, I'm so glad that you asked that question, and I didn't even prompt you. In fact, I'm missing a St. Mary's meeting today up in Haver because I'm here in Billings with the Montana Economic Developers. But, you know, the St. Mary's project, I would argue, is arguably the most important infrastructure, biggest infrastructure project in Montana. 110,000 acres are irrigated with Milk River water, and we were able to secure $26 million in state funds for the St. Mary Milk River project to rehabilitate that. You know, that was constructed over 100 years ago, and if anything was constructed 100 years ago and you kind of forget about it, there's some cracks in the foundation. So we're going to fix those cracks, and we're going to help those irrigators make sure that they continue to have water to irrigate Montana crops.
And this was the right time to do that, too. There's, and I hate to say it that way, but the federal government was printing money and throwing it out there, and we have a big surplus in Montana right now. They've been kicking that can down the road for 20 years or more. And I'm glad to see that this surplus will get more than just a Band-Aid approach to that. I think that's huge.
Hey, Tom, it was a wise use of money. And that's another great example of where we are parlaying money from the federal government with money from the state government and also local contributions. Local governments and the irrigators along the Highline also contributed to this. Now is the time to invest.
Paul, we're going to have to catch up a little more, okay?
Yeah.
I'll reach out, and if you got something going on you want to talk about, reach back, okay?
That's outstanding.
Good chat with you. Thanks.
Tom, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for your public service
as
well.
Thank you.
We'll take a break and come on back, and Brian Obert will join us next here live from MEDA, the Montana Economic Developers Conference at the Northern Hotel in Billings, Montana, on Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
All right, welcome. We are back live here at MEDA and at the Northern Hotel in Billings, Montana. It's the Montana Economic Developers Association and their annual spring conference. A lot of good breakout sessions here today, workforce development among them. We're going to key on that here in our last segment. Brian Obert joins us. He's president of the board of directors of the Montana Economic Developers Association and part of the Montana Business Assistance Connectors. It gets connectors.
Connections.
Connections. Thank you. I couldn't even read my writing. Let's go into workforce a little bit. And welcome. Thanks for being here. Appreciate that.
I mean, love to be in Billings.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, it's always a good thing.
From Helena, usually, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Nice to get out of Helena now and again.
Yeah,
workforce. I mean, when we do work within my region and across the state, you ask what is impacting residents and businesses. First thing the businesses talk about is workforce, then housing, because they can't get the workforce. If they get the workforce, they don't have housing, and then childcare.
Yeah.
So workforce, how do we home grow it? How do we upskill individuals? And then how do we attract the appropriate people for the positions that we have open.
Did they do I think that's a real tough topic because it's not something you can do. If you want immediate results, you have to pour a bunch of money into it.
Yep.
And that's not an approach, I think, that works in the long run. Did they accomplish some things down the road?
And that's it. I think you hit that point. This is a big elephant we have to take a bite out of.
Yeah.
Very small bites, and that's it. How do we home grow our workforce is one of the things what my organization is openly working on very heavily right now in the Helena region.
Gotcha.
And then it's the upskilling, trying to move people up within their professional careers. And then there is that attraction. Attraction is very difficult right now for people coming in because we have no housing for them to be able to stay in. So, I mean, we see the trailers along the streets and things like that. How do we do better with what we have right now and then attract appropriate numbers and appropriate people is a difficult conversation.
Yeah, and do you think that they're having a fair conversation? Because bills will get debated and, you know, there's several years of work before they actually cross the finish line. So was there some conversation started in this session, do you think, that maybe down the road will cross the finish line with real significant impact?
Yes.
Okay.
Like many times, we struggle with our execution. Mm-hmm. I think there's some programs that were in place before the session that some modifications will actually amplify the work that's been going on. One of those here in Billings is Billings Works. Helena has Helena Wins. Great Falls has their workforce development, and Kalispell does. Those are really kind of homegrown bread and butter. How do we work those small items? Very specifically, it's doing a lot of work on the home grow our workforce, working from the high school, from the middle school, and getting those students understanding their role and their opportunity that we have in the state of Montana right now, which honestly is a huge change from, say, 20 years ago when everybody was leaving to get experience.
Yeah, and a change, too, in that economic developers are now, I think, more broadly considering all the ramifications of economic development, like education.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the days where we only went out to chase after that next industry to come in, when you're running at 2.2% unemployment rate, every time I try to bring a business in, my existing businesses yell and scream at me going, I can't find workforce and you're just making it worse.
Right.
So that's that weird movement. Now we're not trying to report on just new jobs created. We're trying to look at taxable value that is created. That means a business has built something, put equipment, bolted it to the ground. That creates taxable value, which pays for the sewer systems, which pays for the fire department, which pays for the law enforcement. That's probably right now a more important feature for us to be focusing on than necessarily net new jobs created.
I get that. I only have a minute left here. give me the 40-second answer on the future of economic development in Montana. Right?
Yeah, yes,
no
exactly.
Fair. It's not
no
a
fair,
problem.
Tom. Not a problem. It really is. I think it, kind of going back to what I said, is this: how do we become conveners that really look at all of the avenues right now? So the live, work, play environment. So how do we make our communities a place to be, a place that you want to be in, a place you want to interact with? That's that squishy middle ground, which we always have dabbled with, but it's now starting to really show its value.
Yeah.
So that is an area, obviously, workforce, infrastructure that can support housing, I think is something, as organizations, we're really looking at what does that take and what mechanisms can we use to fund those things.
Good job on that, Brian. Yeah, that's Brian Obert again from the Montana Business Assistance Connections, Executive Director of that organization. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.